Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF. This week we listen in on part one of Dr. David Pallison's three-part series on developing marital intimacy.
Well, let's tackle some of the basic questions about marital intimacy and the way it breaks down. And, one natural question is, have you dealt much in counseling with this issue? And one of my shorthands for all counseling is that counseling consists of people who are married who wish they weren't and people who aren't married who wish they were. And now there are a few other categories, but the issue of conflict, tension, distance, disappointment in marriage, I mean, this is one of the crucial topics of all human life and all ministry. And my rough rule of thumb in terms of thinking about what are the patterns, what are the things that one encounters, where are the struggle points, is that the problems are extremely predictable. Naming and describing the problems is not difficult at all. I think visually, and sometimes people are on a two-lane road and they're both driving down the center stripe and there's head-on collision and you're dealing with conflict. And sometimes people are at the interchange on at the interstate and one is going to head east and the other is heading west. They are just heading opposite directions. They are avoiding each other and heading off away from each other. And then sometimes, and this is probably where we... When you think more narrowly about the loss of marital intimacy, it's as though people are on the same highway, it's like passing people. They're, one person, the guy's heading north, the wife's heading south. It's like passing cars on the interstate that they're just not heading to the same place. They're continually passing each other, cars on the interstate. And so the challenge is to how to think about the problems are easy to describe. The challenge is, well, how do you think about how to solve those problems and move forward? Other basic patterns that you see, and this is not atomic physics, right? This is human relationships 101. It is hard to love. Love is patient. And patience means other people are doing things that you don't like. And love is kind. And kind means you do things that are constructive when they're doing things you don't like. And that is simply hard. If it were easy, the Bible would not have had to be written, and Jesus Christ would not have had to come, live, and die, and promise to help us in transforming us in a way that's really hard. The other most common problem that, I can't think of, in all my years of doing marital counseling, I can't think of a single couple who walked in there and one of them said, my spouse may have a few faults, but it's really, I've got a big problem. They come in pointing the finger. And it is the most natural thing to come in and blame you and excuse myself. And that fundamental dynamic of self-justifying and other accusation that's Jesus' log in the speck. And that is an element in every couple where there is distance, conflict, breakdown of intimacy. As I think about helping people move into forward gear in re-engaging each other to build intimacy, one of the places I like to think about it is the parable of the sower. It's familiar to us all. The sower sows seed. Some's on the path, some's in the stone, some's in the weeds, some's in the good soil. And that is obviously a parable about our relationship with God. And that is actually is crucial to how we think about relationship in marriage. Because one of the things that when you do ministry, you soon learn to recognize is that the way people deal with others mirrors and expresses the way they deal with God. There is some fundamental connection between the ways I misfire with God and the ways I misfire with other people. And so I like to think, for example, the first soil is the hard heart, the one who just has no time and place for God. And there is clearly an analogy to that in the hard heart that comes out in marriage, where a person who is embittered and blame-shifting and just dedicated, you might say, to their resentment and dedicated to find their life in some other place, preoccupied consciously with, I am not going to make the effort to go towards my spouse. You've got the second soil, which is the stony soil, which, you know, maybe we'd call it the disappointed heart. In the vertical dimension, it's, hey, this Christian life didn't turn out to be as easy as I thought. It was sounded pretty good. God loves me. But then there were sufferings. And in that disappointment becomes a real test in the vertical dimension of what you're living for. And it's very similar, analogous in dealing with marriage, that the disappointed heart is preoccupied with the death of one's dream, with the, you know, we come in with a vision of what's supposed to be, and then lo and behold, we married somebody with feet of clay. And lo and behold, voila, so did they. You know, they married you. You're a sinner too. And that disappointment can lead to people being surprised, shocked, stunned, reeling. And just as you've got to deal with the hard heart, you've got to deal with the disappointed heart. Third soil is the distracted heart, the thorns that grow up. You know, distracted by money, distracted by children, distracted by the cares and anxieties of life, distracted by other kinds of pleasures. And just as that chops down the fruit with God, the same kind of thing happens in relationship. Now, as we start to think about marriage breakdown on the analogy of the breakdown with God, it then immediately brings into view the fact that my learning to love is going to involve in some essential way a growth in my repentance and faith towards the living God. Because my failures of love towards my spouse reflect failures of love, trust, belief in my relationship to God. And that process is absolutely crucial to the kind of essential humility that lets a couple start to move towards each other. It's so essential in marriage, if I'm able to say, it's not just that I have a few problems, but my spouse is a real jerk. For me to say, you know, my spouse may have a few problems, but I really need to change. And when you start to connect the dots between relationship with God and relationship to others and see how whatever my pattern of whether it's hardness, whether it's disappointment, whether it's distraction, whatever my pattern with my wife or husband, that is reflecting something that is going haywire in a very similar way in the vertical dimension. That brings us to our knees. It brings us to a sense of our need for God's mercy to start to go to work in me in a new way.
Thank you for joining us. This series is also available in video format at ccef.org by searching Marital Intimacy, or you can also become a subscriber to our CCEF YouTube account.